You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The playoff field is all set. So to start breaking it down, welcome in to a new episode here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show on this Thursday, April 11th, is sponsored by our friends over at Wyze. Wyze, that's W-Y-Z-E, is the indoor camera that does it all. Head on over to wyze.com/lock to get the guaranteed lowest price on all of their top-notch camera equipment. Again, that's wyze.com/locked. As we chat this Thursday evening, we now know the round one matchup for the Rockets. It is, as expected, after Tuesday's loss in Oklahoma City, Houston, the 4 seed, against the Utah Jazz, the 5 seed, a rematch of last year's Western Conference semifinals. And then, if Houston is fortunate enough to advance, it would be presumably a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals, but in round two, because the Rockets on the 4-5 line are now on the Golden State side of the bracket, the Warriors' enormous favorites against the 8th-seeded Clippers. So these are definitely two playoff series to start off the run for the Rockets, assuming they can beat the Jazz, that they should be comfortable with because they played the Jazz and Warriors a season ago, and of course they dispatched the Jazz in 5 games. They were up on the Warriors 3-2 before Chris Paul's hamstring went out. So I would not say that all hope is lost, even though the Rockets did let the number 2 seed slip away and then had it slip away yet again after Denver trailed for most of their game late Wednesday against the Minnesota Timberwolves before rallying with a 15-0 run in the closing minutes to salvage that. Now on today's show this Thursday, I'm going to be joined momentarily by Bobby Brown. He's a good friend, former Rockets guard. Going to pick his brain because he's got a unique insight as a player with the Rockets the last 2 seasons. He's been in a lot of meetings with the team, the Mike D'Antoni-led coaching staff, and has a good idea of how the Rockets probably want to attack the Jazz, led by Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, and all of their length and rebounding inside. I've been waiting on Bobby for a while. He's a great podcast guest. He's been playing in Europe and China this year. Now his season is over, so I thought between this and the game planning aspect, this would be a good show to get him on and, again, start to pick his brain about what he thinks the Rockets need to do to succeed in this matchup, as well as a lot of other things about both his own personal career and what he thinks about his teammates, guys that even though he's not still with the Rockets, clearly he still stays in touch. And if you go by his Twitter feed, you know that Bobby is cheering on the Rockets very hard. We'll get to Bobby in just a few moments to really dive in a bit more towards Rockets Jazz. Here off the top, I just want to throw out a few initial thoughts, and we'll get into these more in our chat with Bobby Brown today. I also have a show with David Locke, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, on tap for tomorrow, in which we'll flush things out a bit more. At first glance to me, it's not a great matchup, but it's also not a horrible one. There's a reason Houston won in 5 games a year ago, and the 2 games the Rockets lost to the Jazz this year were very early in the season. When Houston has been clicking, it's just tough for the Jazz to score and generate enough offense to keep up with the Rockets. Now, it's not an easy series because they are big, they are physical, and their rebounding advantage, that's a weakness for the Rockets all season long. I think they're capable of taxing the Rockets, and considering you're now on the Golden State side of the bracket, and unless the Clippers pull off one of the greatest upsets in sports history, that's who's waiting for you if you win this series. It's not ideal. However, it definitely could be worse. To me, if the Rockets are healthy, while I won't say it's 100% lock, something would have to go wrong, in my opinion, in a major way for Houston to lose 4 times out of 7 against the Utah Jazz. Whereas, if Portland had lost on Wednesday night and they sat Damian Lillard, sat CJ McCollum, and trailed by 25 at the half at home to Sacramento, not sure why they came back and won, if that had transpired, the Rockets would have become the 3 seed facing the 6-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. And the upshot, if that had happened, the Rockets would have been on the opposite side of the bracket from Golden State. But the downside, you'd be playing the 6-seeded OKC Thunder in round 1. And to me, that's a matchup where yeah, the Rockets could be beaten four times out of seven by the Thunder, a team that beat them three times out of four during the season, including Tuesday's game when so much was at stake. So while I think the four seed, it's definitely worse than being the two, let's not spin this, because reality is the Rockets would have loved to have been the two seed. The Clippers would have been a much weaker opponent than the Jazz, and you'd have home court advantage in round two as well, while most likely letting the Warriors deal with the Thunder, which is obviously an imposing matchup, and then someone else on the 4-5 line in round two, perhaps the Jazz, who have given Golden State issues these past couple of seasons. So it's certainly not as good for the Rockets as if they had closed out Tuesday's game when they led by 14 with barely over 9 minutes to go, led by four with the basketball in the final 30 seconds. And if you want more of a recap on that, check out Wednesday's show. We dove into what went wrong at considerable length. I'm not going to say that this scenario is anywhere near as good as that. It's not. The Rockets, they took a hit by losing that game. It sucks, and now they just have to make the best of the hand that they are dealt. However, I also don't think it's the worst case scenario, because even though the four on paper, you say, well, you're the four instead of the number three, and a Rockets squad that finished winning 20 of their last 24 games, 53 and 29 overall, you'd like to think that they deserve better than the four seed. Unfortunately, they lost the tiebreaker to Portland, and so on paper, they're the four, Portland is the three. However, I think the Utah Jazz over seven games are a friendlier matchup for Houston than the Oklahoma City Thunder. So to me, it's a series in which, yes, Utah is physical enough, they're quality enough defensively to pose some challenges for Houston, but barring something unexpected, I don't think they have what it takes to actually win four games out of seven, whereas I think the Oklahoma City Thunder, with their defense and also having Paul George and Russell Westbrook on the offensive end of the floor, to me, that is the most threatening. So while it's certainly not as good of a scenario as if the Rockets had gotten the two, it's also not what I would consider a horrible scenario either. And then as far as Golden State in round two, we've debated this for weeks, and at this point, there's no other way to resolve it until we actually see these two teams on the floor, because while I've been on the side of put Golden State on the other side of the bracket, make them go through some tough challenges in round one and at least round two to maybe tax them before, well, now it's not going to happen. They're playing the Clippers, who are weak and not 100% on top of not being that great of a team overall. The Warriors are probably going to win in five games at the most, and they're not going to be all that taxed. They're going to be waiting for you in California. The flip side is that, well, you play them in round two rather than round three. You should have a much more fresh Chris Paul and James Harden. There are legitimate arguments on both sides of that equation as far as which one is more valid. At this point, it's pointless to debate because it's set. Houston is on the 4-5 line. They are on the Golden State side of the bracket, and we'll hopefully pick this up in a couple of weeks, assuming Houston handles its business against Utah in round one, and we'll see how things go on the floor. I think it's a situation where you can make a compelling argument for both sides, and now that it's set, there's no point to really diving into it until we see what happens, because can't change it anymore. There's no strategy, no tactical move you can take to try and avoid it. No, the matchups are set, and Houston against Utah, you win that, and you've got Golden State looming in round two, and perhaps Houston can get revenge, do the same thing they did a year ago in the semis against Utah, and then once you get Golden State in the series following that, finish the job, because that's certainly what these Rockets have been built to do and what they've been focused to do all season long. Now, I'm going to get to Bobby Brown momentarily to get a player's perspective on what the Rockets need to do against the Jazz and potentially the Warriors down the line. But while I'm getting him connected, I do want to tell you a little bit about our friends over at Wyze, because they're the sponsor responsible for bringing you today's show here at Locked on Rockets. And Wyze, that's W-Y-Z-E, is the indoor camera that does it all. Their mission is to bring amazing smart home products and make them accessible to everyone, which they do since their camera footage can be accessed from anywhere via your mobile phone. Wyze is packaged with premium features, allowing users to see everything they need for only $20. There's no subscription required, it can work with Alexa, and there's free 14-day rolling cloud storage. So how does it work? The camera runs 1080p in full HD, which means the images are so clear that you won't miss a thing. You can connect with life as it unfolds, all in sharp focus, and it even comes with night vision and two-way audio. As far as potential applications, you can check on your home at any time with the Wyze app's live stream, which comes with an 8x digital zoom. If you're worried about kids or pets, you can watch them, and you can even keep tabs on contractors and their work through the time-lapse feature. Want more? They've got that too. For just $10 extra, the Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds and automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. After all, since life moves fast, your camera should too. To check out all the products, just go to wyze.com/locked. That's W-Y-Z-E.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. All right, now joining us from Los Angeles is former Rockets guard Bobby Brown, who was with the team from 2016 through 2018. Within the past few weeks, Bobby just wrapped up a season with Shaanxi in China, where he averaged an impressive 26 points and 7 assists per game on 38% shooting from three. Bobby, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. We'll get to the Rockets momentarily, because, I mean, I know that's really exciting these days, but to start with, here's a question I've got for you personally after your year in China. I know you don't have a contract yet for next season, and the reason I find that intriguing, because I know there are a lot of NBA quality role players in their 30s, and, you know, when you're looking at teams, just what's the balance between, I guess, the prestige of the NBA and the knowledge that internationally you may get the playing time, the type of role that I'm guessing probably makes the game a lot more fun relative to sitting on a bench and not knowing when you're going to play. You're not obviously alone in that dynamic. There's lots of quality NBA players playing over there. I'm just kind of curious how you weigh those factors, because I'm sure this past year, getting to put up those numbers and play, it's a lot more fun than sitting on the bench and not knowing when your number's going to get called.
Definitely. I mean, I just feel like I'm at a point in my career where I just want to, you know, have fun, play the game, and, you know, make as much, you know, money as possible. And this, you know, everybody has a short time period. And it's just those key factors with me. I done been across the world. I done been NBA, China, Europe. And it's just like, at this point in my career, it's just like, I want to just go fun and play ball.
What's the biggest difference in the international game relative to the NBA? Just stylistically, is there very much different about it?
Of course, the NBA is, it's like, I mean, we all know it's the best league in the world. The best athletes in the world. But it's just their style of play is just different. In Europe, it's a lot more physical. You can get away with more stuff. The way the crowds at those games are insane, because in Europe, the fans, it's about them. Like, when they're at the game, when they're cheering. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen Rick Pitino. He said that experience he had coaching that Olympiacos and Panathinaikos game was unreal. Like, he'd never been a part of that. And it's just that whole, you know, European style out there is way different from the NBA. China is completely different from both Europe and the NBA, because it's like, you know, Chinese, you know, they love the game. They love the sport. I don't know, it's picking up over there, and they're starting to understand it more. But it's just a different, like, atmosphere in China compared to the both leagues. But they're all good. They're all competitive. I mean, there's no cakewalks nowhere when you're playing. And then it's just like, I mean, I'm just humbled to experience all three.
Sure, no doubt. I'm sure culturally it's a lot of fun. I know you were in Europe for a couple of months, and then you made your way to China. It seems like with every year, there's more NBA guys that are choosing China over Europe. Was it just about money, or was it something about the difference in the leagues?
I think it's about the time period. I mean, because Europe, you're gone from August to June.
True.
Every season. And in China, you're gone from October to February or March. And, you know, in Europe, you have to worry about getting your money on time. You have to be worried about getting your money, period. A lot of teams are folding. And it's just, you know, a lot of people don't want to have to deal with that. They just want to go hoop. Have a good time, make their team better, try to win. And also, you know, you sign a contract, you're supposed to get paid. So you don't have to deal with that that headache in China, as far as like getting your money on time and just dealing with that long season. So I think people go there for those reasons, and, you know, to hoop.
So China's a lot more stable, it sounds like, from a player's perspective.
Very stable, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, anyway, now the season is over. As you said, it gets done in March. You're back now in L.A., which is your home. And I know you went out to Staples last week to see your old Rockets when they blew out the Clippers. And I know you and James are obviously close. You tweet about them all the time. Just if you could, even though you're no longer with the Rockets, just explain your relationships with those guys and why you're still pulling for them so hard.
Yeah, I mean, they're both my brothers, CP and James. Definitely James, you know, both of us are from the same area, same environment. We We watched him when he was in high school and college, playing pickup in the summertime, before he going to college and all that. And just, you know, that's how we built our friendship. And also with CP, I mean, I've been knowing him since my days in New Orleans, and you know, he knew the type of person I was, and I knew the type of person he was. And once you have, you know, two minds like that, and two people who are genuine and humble, and they get along, they stay in contact, and we've been friends ever since. So once we all were on the same team, it was just like, that was crazy, man. And I'm always gonna be rooting for them, especially, like, I don't, like, people ask me, oh, you got a favorite team? And I'll be like, nah, I just root for all my friends, like Trevor, CP, James, Tuck, DeMar, PG, Russ, like all those guys. Like, those guys I really, really, like, know. So when they ask, do I got a favorite team, I say, you know, I root for my guys. But, I mean, I had the best relationships and the best experience with Houston. So I'm a ride with Houston no matter what. And I got love for the city. And it was just a great experience for me. So I always cherish that, and I always show my respect and show my love for them.
I want to ask you a little bit more about James, because I know y'all are close, like you were saying. And if you could, just explain to people how competitive that guy is, because I think nationally a lot of folks don't see it. And, you know, what's amazing to me, the 2 years that you were with him in Houston, Bobby, the first year he nearly won MVP. That was the year that Russ won it. And then somehow he got even better last year and did win it. And now this year, the guy's literally averaging over 36 points a game. And so it's just, from my view, you know, I'm not a player, but a lot of guys, it looks like they get a little bit complacent when they have success. But it just seems to me like James always has this chip on his shoulder to keep getting better. Just talk about his competitiveness and what you see, you know, even in the offseason.
Always. I mean, like he said in his interview when they was asking him if he want to rest, he was like, nah, I love the hoop. Like, I'm trying to play, man. And he's like, if nothing is broke on my body, I'm trying to hoop. And he's always been, I think that's how everybody is in the L.A. hoop culture. Like, all of us, we love to play, we love to compete, we love to be the best. We always gonna be in the gym, and it's just like him. He's always had that. Like, he used to come play with us. We used to play at USC, the men's gym, and we used to be like, "Damn, who is that?" Like, I mean, we knew who he was, but we was like, "Damn, he doing all of that?" Like, you know, his body type was, you know how he was when he was in high school and then in college. He was, you know, kind of heavy, but he was still doing everything. Yeah. Dunking, shooting threes fast. So it's like, we've seen that in other areas, but there's just that competitiveness and that hunger and that will to get better every season, no matter how much money I got, no matter how much fame I got, none of that. He's just trying to hoop and be the best and try to help this team win. So, I mean, all of us, all my people in LA, all of us as friends, we all, you know, we've seen that early ages. So now it's just like, no, I'm in the NBA. That don't mean nothing. Like, I'm trying to be the best. I'm trying to win, and I'm trying to compete at a high level. And he did it in practice every day. A lot of superstars. I mean, I played with him and CP, and they both were competitive and wanted to practice all the time. So it's like, I never played with a superstar who, you know, kind of like took days off or like, oh, I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that. But firsthand, I seen them too, and it's just like, wow, the work that he love the hoop.
I want to ask you about CP, because you mentioned him a couple of times. Bobby, you're 34, CP's 33, and I'm sure you know one of the big questions, anytime the slightest thing goes wrong, I'm sure you know there's a segment of Twitter that says, oh, you know, is he washed, is he too old, that kind of stuff. And, you know, going into the playoffs, this is going to be a bad pun, but certainly he wants to show the world what the ones look like. Everybody wants to see if CP can still shake the bigs on those switches. And you know, to me, he's looked really good ever since he came back in January from the hamstring. But if you could, just tell me about how, I guess, an NBA player, a guard, how you evolve in your 30s, and how a guy like yourself or CP, how you try to offset the fact that your first step might not be quite as lethal or as quick as it used to be. But, of course, there are other ways that you can kind of counteract that to slow the aging.
So many ways. I mean, I was just having a conversation with Darrell Wright, you know, because we all getting up there in age, and we talk about it like, man, it feels so much better playing against people, because we play at our own pace. We still can get whatever shot we want. We can create for whoever we want. And it's like, we don't, you know, that's how our game, you know, is now. I mean, I'm 34, he's 33, so it's like he figures out ways to get it done, whether it's defensively, getting in the lane, diamond people, because that's always been his game, is, mm-hmm. you know, making the team better and making his teammates better, but he also was a dominant scorer, so it's like, now he has James with him, and it's like they complement each other because it's like, oh, dang, James, sometimes he gets tired. All right, CP, bring it up. But it's like, if CP gets switched now, it's like he getting his steps back. He can go by people. He can shoot the floater. He can shoot his mid-range. He's not going to miss. So it's like, at this age, it's like, all right, I might not have that first step, but I'm going to still get it done. I'm going to figure it out. Yeah. And he's a pro. He's so smart on the court. He's so crafty. He's so tough defensively, and it's like he gonna figure it out. So I'm not a fan who'd be like, oh yeah, he's getting old, blah blah blah. Come on, man, the guy been playing this game for so long and be getting the job done, so it's like I'm rolling.
Another guy around y'all same age is Carmelo Anthony. You talk about the bonds. I know Melo, James, and CP, they're all close. Were you surprised, considering that the Rockets, you know, going back to when you first got there, we're going after the guy. Were you surprised, given their friendships, that it didn't work out? Or is it just a situation where even if they are friends, sometimes situations just don't fit on the court?
Exactly. I mean, that's what the case was. I mean, on the court, the situation that just didn't work out. I mean, no knock on Carmelo, because he's still an unbelievable player. He still can, one of the best scorers in the league. I'm pretty sure he still can hoop. Because, you know, mm-hmm. he's been playing for so long, like he's a pro. But just that situation was just tough watching on the outside, like, you know, because you wanted to work. Because I was there when they were trying to get Carmelo the first time, and then once they finally got him, and then how it panned out, it was just like, oh man, like, and I wish it would have, you know, lasted longer. But I mean, so that's the business of it. That's how teams are made up, you know, of chemistry and, you know, stuff for it to work on the court. And I mean, everybody had to do what they had to do for to make the situation work. And, I mean, now he's, you know, doing his own thing and Houston's playing. But they're all still friends and they all still communicate. So it's like it wasn't no beef or anything. But it was just a, you know, unfortunate situation for both.
Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Rockets on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Continuing our conversation with former Rockets guard Bobby Brown and his good friends, former teammates Chris Paul, James Harden, talking about those guys. And now I want to transition to the upcoming series. The playoffs begin on Sunday night, Game 1, Rockets and Jazz. I'm sure you'll be watching. Just give me, if you could, as a guy that's been with Mike D'Antoni, Jeff Bezdelic the past couple of years, when you hear the name Utah Jazz, Friday's going to be their first practice after knowing the opponent. What do you think that D'Antoni, Bezdelic, what are they going to be stressing? What are the keys that when you want to beat the Utah Jazz, what are the things that you know you have to do?
Well, definitely stick to Houston's game plan. I mean, they're going to do what they've been doing for the past, you know, 3 years. But just with Utah, I mean, they just know that they're tough. They compete. I mean, they play hard. I mean, I think they're dealing with Dante Exum. He's out. But they have, you know, I mean, they have their core players still. You know, what they're going to be, you know, what James is going to have to face with Crowder and
Rubio.
No, the other guard. The bigger, stronger guard that always guards him, plays him, trying to play him tough. What is his name? Royce O'Neal. That's what it is.
There you go. Yeah, and Royce is a Houston guy, because I know he and Mitchell were doing James's charity stuff in the summer.
Yeah, he was there the summer when I was here. So, I mean, Houston is definitely going to stick to their game plan, but as far as Utah, I mean, you just know what type of game it's going to be. It's going to be a gritty, hard-fought game, and you know, Houston is definitely going to come away with it. I'll be here on Sunday as well, too. So.
Oh, you will? Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm flying out tomorrow.
Perfect. Sounds good. I'll definitely see you there. Who is their best matchup for Mitchell now? You know, last year it was Trev, and now that Ariza's gone, I guess, you know, Rivers is a pretty good on-ball defender.
Really
obviously,
defender.
There's CP, there's House. Who do you think matches up with Mitchell the best?
I think Shump. I mean, if Shumpy gets in there, he'll be a perfect matchup for him. Definitely Austin Rivers. I mean, CP will probably be on Rubio. But definitely Shump and House, D-House for sure. Bigger bodies, strong.
Yeah.
Athletic. I think that'll be good matchups for both of them.
Do you think, we were talking earlier about Chris Paul and whether he can still shake bigs. Do you think he'll fare pretty well once he gets, because we know Gobert. A lot of times he's going to get Gobert or Favors switched on to him. Do you think he can still shake those guys?
He can shake them for sure, because Rudy Gobert got happy feet and Favors is kind of, you know, slow-footed. So I think he can get that job done easily. And if he can't get a shot, he's going to make one for somebody else.
Do you think the extra time off between games 1 and 3 is good for CP and Nene? Because I look at it, you know, they're the last playoff series starting Sunday night. So they hadn't played since Tuesday. Then you don't play till Wednesday. And then you don't play until Saturday. Considering the Rockets got 2 of their top 8 or 9 with CP and Nene that are guys in their mid-30s, is that an advantage for the Rockets given those ages?
For sure. More rest. I mean, more rest time after games. Especially for those two, I mean, they take care of their body, so I mean, I'm pretty sure they don't mind the extra days. But I mean, they in the gym, it ain't like they just sitting at home chilling. But they always, you know, doing something to work out. I mean, they had one playoff series, I think was it last year? CP was in the gym the night before the game last season before the playoffs started.
What's your thought on Houston being on the same side of the bracket as Golden State? Because I've seen two schools of thought. You know, the Western Conference Finals, that was where they met a year ago. And, you know, there's one school of thought saying, well, put it off as long as possible. Try and tax Golden State. Who knows? Maybe they end up losing beforehand. But there's another school of thought that, you know, we mentioned the older guys, CP, Nene, obviously James has a high burden. There's a lot of folks that also say maybe it's good that you play him earlier because then James and CP are going to be fresher. Now, of course, they got to beat the Jazz first in round one. But if you're a player, do you like playing them earlier or would you rather play them later?
As a player, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to have to play them anyway.
Fair.
You might as well. Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, as a player, it don't matter. Whenever, whoever you're facing, that's who you're facing. Get the game plan and roll the ball out and let's hoop. So, I mean, I know they ain't looking at it like, oh, dang, if we beat this series, we got to play. Nah, just line it up. Let's play. I mean, they showed this season how they matched up against them. And in the playoffs, it's completely different. But, you know, just have to wait and see. But I'm rolling with my guys.
What's the biggest difference with Capella? I ask you because, you know, when you first got to Houston in 2016, that was his first year becoming a starter, you know, and he was still growing into his body. And I'm sure you remember the first Rockets-Warriors games, he basically got schemed off the court because when they went to the death lineup with Draymond at the 5, Capella wasn't capable of staying out there. Whereas now, you know, one of those games, I went back and looked at the stat lines this year, the Rockets won. I think it was the one that James had the game winner in Oakland. Capella had 29 and 21. He played 46 minutes. And even with Draymond at the 5, they still didn't have the answers. How different is the Houston Golden State matchup now that, you know, we have a year 5 grown up Clint Capella as opposed to, you know, when you got to Houston, a year 3?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely came a long way and he's definitely improved every season and got extremely better. And it's like, the game is it's easy for him because he has the two best guards in the NBA, and it's like that's his job: run the floor, set picks, dunk, finish, block shots, and play D. And now he's switching on these guards, and he's playing really good defense on them. I mean, now he's able to be in there with those lineups that you were just talking about, and then also the asset to having PJ Tucker. I mean, he can guard everybody, so it's like. His growth this man has been tremendous, especially for the team and for himself. And I just like where it's going with Clint. I mean, the sky's definitely the limit, and he's been earning every dollar that he just signed. So he matches up perfect now. I can play against these guys. I can guard these guys. I can protect the rim, and I can still run the floor and dunk. So
last question for you. We'll circle it back to the Jazz series. What's your prediction? Do the Rockets win in how many games?
Houston in 4.
Oh, there you go. They got the sweep?
Sweep. 4-0.
Are you thinking they're going to beat Golden State too?
For sure.
There you go.
Payback, man.
I like it. you won't get a ring this year. God, that I was so hoping they'd win it last year because you would have gotten a ring.
Last year, yeah. We'll figure it out. I'm going to have to talk to James. Like, look, bro, I need a ring, man. Talk to him.
You motivated during the off season. You trained with him, so that's all that really matters, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, he's Bobby Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at @BBrownLAU. And if you're interested in learning more about him, shopping for What Your Ones Look Like merchandise, his website, contact info, it's all at b6b.com. Bobby, thanks so much for the time. And if you don't mind, I'd love to have you later in the playoffs as the Rockets hopefully continue playing back on the show. Does that sound good?
No problem. I'll do it for sure. Appreciate it, man.
Sure thing. And look forward to seeing you Sunday. And I'll text you and try to say hi before the game, okay?
Yep, I'll be there.
Sounds good. See you then. Great stuff there with former Rockets guard Bobby Brown. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at @BBrownLAU, and you can visit his website at b6b.com, where you can also shop for What Your Ones Look Like merchandise. Hopefully that will be very fashionable to wear over the coming weeks here in Houston, especially with James Harden and Chris Paul, both good friends of Bobby, poised to hopefully show the world what their ones look like, beginning with Game 1 on Sunday night against the Utah Jazz, that being the start of the postseason for your Houston Rockets. Also, special thanks to Bobby for joining us on a very busy and I'm sure emotional day. He was at the Nipsey Hussle Memorial Service out at Staples Center in LA earlier this afternoon. So, busy day, but I know Bobby loves his Rockets, and that's why I thank him so much for doing this, and hopefully you guys enjoy hearing from him as much as I do, because he really is a great guy, class act, and a very insightful and high IQ basketball player on top of it all. At this point, this is where we'll wrap up for Thursday, April 11th, because, well, we're going to have another show not too long away. Tomorrow, I do have David Locke lined up, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, also the host of Locked On Jazz, the sister program to Locked On Rockets here on the Locked On Podcast Network, covering the NBA's Utah Jazz. He also hosts Locked On NBA, which is the national show, and of course, he is the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. So just as we got Bobby's perspective today for a bit of a Rocket-centric focus on this Utah Jazz series in round one, tomorrow we'll go behind enemy lines and get the Utah perspective on how they're looking at this series between the Jazz and the Rockets. And I'm expecting that by midday or late afternoon tomorrow. So again, this will be it for Thursday, but please stay tuned because we're your daily source for everything Houston Rockets basketball. And with the playoffs coming up, this is our busiest time of year. So we're not too far away at any point, really, from another episode. This should be a fun, at least few weeks, and hopefully a fun couple of months, depending on how the Rockets play and progress through the playoffs, beginning again with the Utah Jazz this weekend. For now, this is where I will sign off. If you want more content before our next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I mentioned Bobby is on there at @BBrownLAU. I'm on there at Ben DuBose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond Twitter, we've also got a Facebook account at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website at LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those ways you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, check out prior episodes. If there's anything we can do to improve this experience for you as a Rockets fan or even you as a human being, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. LockedOnRockets@gmail.com is a good way to get in touch with us about our advertising specials. We've got lots of good rates, and it's a great time to get involved on the advertising front because with the playoffs starting, we've got a very large, captive, and growing audience. And with the Rockets entering the playoffs, having won 20 of their past 24 games, it seems the ingredients are there for hopefully a long playoff run in which they win a few playoff series and hopefully even bring the city of Houston its first NBA title since the mid-90s. Long way to go. It starts with Game 1 on Sunday night against the Jazz, but based on how the Rockets finish the season, I think we can agree that at a bare minimum, the potential is there. Now it's on the Rockets to go out and execute on the hardwood and prove worthy of this hype that we have been putting on them for the past few weeks as they've turned their season around. Anyway, for Bobby Brown, I'm Ben DuBose. At this point, I will sign off. Thanks as always for listening, and please remember that in addition to listening to every show, you can also subscribe to it and get episodes automatically on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and find our most recent episode that way as well. As always, appreciate you guys for tuning in, and please come back Friday for our Behind Enemy Lines show with David Locke of the Utah Jazz, talking even more about this Rockets-Jazz matchup in round one. For today, Enjoy the rest of your evening and come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of everything Houston Rockets basketball.